Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, world. It's a new day, and thanks for kicking it off with us right here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Got your host, James J. behind the mic. I am joined by our head of production, Seth Habhager.
Good morning.
And the best listeners in radio. Thanks for joining us, everybody. We're going to have some fun today. We're going to kick things off with our good friend, Brittany Merlot, talking a little Mother Nature. Good morning, Brett.
Good morning. How are you guys?
We're doing good.
Doing good.
How's it going over there for you?
Pretty good. I mean, it's still mild outside. It's not raining yet. I can't complain, right?
Yeah, same here. Same here. Bit of a cloudy sky out there, but we're seeing some sun peeking through, so.
Yeah, and I'm actually kind of excited. I want to hear a rumble of thunder this afternoon. I kind of miss it.
Yeah. So. I hear you.
A meteorologist.
Yes. I get it, though. I get it. I'm with you on that one, Brittany. What is our weather
going to be? Kind of the perfect... I was going to say, it's kind of like the perfect napping weather, too. I'm not the only one.
No, you're very right.
That I can agree with,
that.
Yeah.
I have no chance at napping, but if I'm going to, it's going to be in weather like this.
Yes, exactly. So it'll start around 2 o'clock. I think those storms might start to fire up. So pretty dry beforehand, maybe a spotty sprinkle or shower or two. But I really think the main event's going to be after 2, mainly till about 8 o'clock, and then we'll see some scattered showers tapering off through the overnight hours. But highs today, still pretty decent. Climbing to the low 60s. Like you mentioned, a few pockets of sun early, but we will stay mostly cloudy for a good chunk of the day. And then tomorrow, we'll start off with some clouds, but the sun peaks back out and it stays abundant the entire weekend. Yeah, we take a hit temperatures to the mid-50s tomorrow, but, I mean, we're going to be pushing 70s to near 80 degrees by Sunday and into Monday.
Jeez. Yeah. Just feels like it came out of nowhere, although it didn't.
It didn't really, but it feels like it.
It does feel like it a little bit.
It does. I agree.
We have such revisionist history with weather. Like
it's true.
We have nothing. Like the whole winter was just kind of weird, and then we have a couple of cold days, and now 70s are around the corner. We're like, oh, I don't know if I'm ready for that. It's just so weird.
We've been on nothing normal for the past 6 months, I feel like. So,
yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, that's kind of the norm. The weather's just, you know, reacting to human beings.
That's right.
So, you know, it's not like any of us are normal. Brittany, are you a pet person? Do you have a pet?
I do. I have 2 cats.
Oh, cool. Very cool. We say good morning to them. Big cat and dog friends around here and everything. It is National Pet Day, so make sure to pet your pets.
It is.
Mm-hmm. Pets like pets.
Okay.
Thank you, Brittany. We appreciate you. You have a great morning.
You too. Thanks.
We've got good stuff coming up for you, everybody. But a big thank you to Brittany Merlot joining us every morning. We really do appreciate that. It's a lot of fun working with her. We are going to get a National Pet Day in a little bit, along with the El Cafe Birthday and Anniversary Club. Looking forward to diving into all of those things. We're going to talk about exercising at night and how much that can help you. It's a good one.
Okay.
A study found a pat on the back actually can be helpful.
Huh? Yep. Oh, really? Huh? Okay.
Yeah. We'll get into that a little bit later as well. Got plenty of entertainment news we want to dive into with Seth as well. We'll be getting into that in the top of the 9 o'clock hour. Mm-hmm. Well, right after our Pet of the Week. We have our Pet of the Week today from our Southwood County Humane Society, and it is sponsored by Johnson, Chrysler, Dodge, and Jeep Dealership.
Yes.
Big fans of our friends over at Johnson & Sons. I've actually worked there. I should mention that.
Oh,
journalistically,
really?
I should mention that.
Okay.
You know, in high school, I used to work there and everything.
Okay, very
did
nice.
A little bit of, and I, by that, I mean very little. Like Bondo, like a little bit, like moving Jeeps around.
They didn't let you touch much. You know, they really didn't.
No, they care about their employees a lot. They really do. And I had a lot of fun. Good people over there.
Yeah,
say a good shout out to them, and thank you for joining the team. And looking forward to our Pet of the Week a little bit later as well. That is going to be a lot of fun. If you've been listening to our news breaks from Melissa, you know that the Wisconsin Emergency Management and National Weather Service are conducting a statewide tornado drill today at 1:45 and 6:45. For local cities, not sure how this might affect you completely, but I know here in Wisconsin Rapids, we've got quite a few sirens we'll be hearing, so they'll be testing those out.
Timing, it's like Brittany said the weather is going to start about 2. So at like 1:45. So it's just a test, people, okay?
Yeah.
Even though it may look like it's going to be a big storm, you know, it's not really a dangerous one. Yeah.
And it is important to keep that in mind.
Right.
You keep it right here, and we will keep you up to date on everything. Our weather team is the best in the state, and we do a nice job of keeping you up to date on everything as well.
Yes.
So especially as it's happening.
Yeah.
So keep on listening.
Yeah. Real quick, before we start, what's with our wardrobes today, dude? What's going on here?
I didn't notice that.
We're both wearing black t-shirts and black black sweatshirts. Why did someone die? Were we mourning something? I don't know.
We're mourning our free time. we have no free time.
I don't know why we did not coordinate this. It just kind of happened. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now this is there's one thing about sharing a brain, sharing a wardrobe, whole other thing.
Yeah, right.
Whole other thing. I didn't plan on that.
That's very. We usually dress quite differently. That's the weird thing. That's, I gotta imagine that actually happened. Yeah,
different sizes too.
Yeah,
like, all the different sizes.
For sure.
Probably. Although we're both tall, so that part we'd have that.
Yeah.
We got a lot of good things in the 9 o'clock hour as well. We'll get into our schedule, some good stories of the day, and plenty more. As I mentioned, though, it is a National Pet Day, and two-thirds of us have at least one pet at home, according to the most recent stats.
Wow.
Dogs and cats are most common, followed by fish, birds, rodents, reptiles, and horses.
Okay.
A little surprised not to see rabbits up there.
I guess they're just not as common.
I guess
that's
not.
Interesting,
huh?
Yeah.
97% of us think that their fur babies are part of the family, but we definitely get a little more creative naming them than we do with our actual kids.
True.
And nationwide, pet insurance has an annual contest to find the wackiest pet names in America.
All right.
We are going to get into that on Monday.
Oh,
the
okay.
Three of us,
all
Melissa,
right.
Seth, and I. We're going to get into that.
Wacky pet names. I like
it. There's a bunch of different categories. They had a lot of fun with this one. last year's winners included a dog named Doc Pawaditi.
What do you call that dog for short?
Yeah.
Just Doc.
Yeah,
I would call it Doc.
And a cat named Spicy Beef Purrito.
Oh, really?
Yeah. We love our puns.
Beef. I'd call that cat Beef.
Yeah, you got to call it Beef. Yeah. it's only funnier if it's a thin cat or a big.
Yes. Yeah. Right.
Like
exactly.
I've always been a fan of that, of the reverse nickname. I don't know. I've never had that one before, but like somebody calling me Big Guy, you know, or something like that.
Yeah, like, huh? What?
Doesn't really fit.
Unless it's done ironically, you know, like the big dude that's called Tiny or something like that. Yeah.
Every sports team in this country at one point or another has had that on their team. I don't know, football, baseball, basketball, every team they've had at some point somebody that has fit that.
Yeah, absolutely.
I know that you and I are a bit of a history buffs. We like history and enjoying that. And one of the things that I think is kind of cool when it comes to history is when people uncover, you know, for every archaeologist find, I love the stories of, oh, I didn't mean to come across this and look what I found. Mm-hmm. We've got a lot of our great discoveries that have happened that way. A lot of them hanging up in museums nowadays and that. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of interesting. And then there is this. Landscapers working in the backyard of a Virginia home made a surprising discovery. A suspected cannonball dating from the Civil War era.
Wow.
Yeah. Jason Singh, a real estate agent with Innovative Properties, said landscapers were working in the yard of a home on Frederick Street in Staten when they uncovered what they initially thought was a strange rock.
This very spherical rock here. Yeah.
Look at how perfectly
it's round it is. Yeah.
One of them ended up rinsing it off and saw that it was a metal ball. And as soon as they saw that, thought, oh my God, this is a cannonball.
Mm-hmm.
Singh said he had recently dealt with a similar discovery at another home, so he knew what to do. I had something similar actually happen up in the Front Royal, and so that is why I was kind of a bit more familiar with it. Staunton Fire and Rescue responded to the home and ended up calling Virginia State Police to cart the suspected explosive away.
Just in case.
We assumed it was a Civil War era cannonball because it can be very unstable, so we treated it as a live ordnance.
Mm-hmm.
Said Perry Weller, deputy chief, and a big thank you to him.
Yes.
Also, thank you to this situation, because if this happens to you, do you know what to do?
Yes.
I would not have. I see this cannonball.
And whoa, cool.
I'm freaking out. I'm taking pictures of it to send to Seth and Melissa. I wouldn't have known right away what to do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. A Jacksonville, Florida man was faced with a similar situation recently when his dog unearthed an object that turned out to be a decades-old military bomb in his backyard.
Yeah. How did it get there?
I don't know.
That's an interesting question. Mystery.
Does that lower or raise the price of the land, of the home? Does
that's
that,
a good question. Did you find any bombs on property? What?
Ask the friends that are over at Coldwell Banker.
Yeah, right.
See what they say about this one. That's an interesting.
That one in Virginia makes sense, though, considering, I mean, that was one of the main battle areas of the Civil War, and there was a lot. of ordnance that was discharged in that area. So it makes sense they're still finding stuff. I totally believe that.
I recently watched one of those Aerial America shows about the Civil War and about the South. And I also heard a really good podcast about General Lee. And the true story of General Lee, the actual story of him and everything, and what he actually accomplished and what he didn't and what the kind of person he was and everything. And you hear more and more of these, and it's just, it almost sometimes when you're listening to this and you're hearing it, it feels like it's a different country sometimes. Because we're so unused to war on this in this soil, on this land.
Yeah.
We're used to talking about it in other countries. We're used to sending our people to other countries. But we're not used to it necessarily happening here.
Exactly.
It is fascinating.
Yeah.
And in part, I think it's also important, too, is we try to, I think, hopefully try to build a better bridge between the South and the North, which is it's 2024. And this is still a thing, you know, so it's quite interesting. And the more we understand, know about these things, the more I think we can take pride in our own country, take pride in our own neighborhood. And
exactly.
Maybe uncover a bomb and get it out of the house before the dog buries it up.
Yeah, no kidding.
There is burying bones, and then there is, that's a little much there.
Burying bombs. That's a good name for a band.
That's actually, we called it. We called it new band name.
Bearing Bombs.
New band name. We'll come back as we work out the logistics of who's gonna do what instrument and everything. When we come back.
I got kazoo.
I got the triangle. CL Cafe Birthday and Anniversary Club coming up on The Morning Show. It's time to do some celebrating with Il Cafe Birthday and Anniversary Club. Treat yourself. Head on over to 221 Market Avenue in beautiful Port Edwards. Mm-hmm. Wish them a great day from all of us. They got some great Thursday specials out there for you. I see a Greek scramble or on pita.
Oh,
that should be good.
That sounds different.
Yeah,
good, yeah.
I love pita bread. That sounds really good. I'll try just about anything on that. And lunch special, they got a fajita combo for you. Go ahead and check that out. The soup of the day is chicken dumpling. Plenty of great food and atmosphere and great people waiting for you over at El Cafe. Visit them right now at 221 Market Avenue in beautiful Port Edwards.
Indeed.
And thank them for sponsoring the segment, everybody.
Absolutely.
We really do appreciate working with
them. We do.
Good people. I have a list of four names here, Seth.
Four names.
One through four.
Well, let's do four. I haven't done that in a while.
Yeah, it works out. Let's go ahead and get into the celebrating. First up, we can wish a happy birthday to Dave Hushin.
Happy birthday, Dave.
Enjoy your day, Dave. Hope it's a good one. We wish a happy birthday to Rhonda Meyer.
Happy birthday, Rhonda.
Rhonda, enjoy your day. We wish you the best of days. Also, wish a happy birthday to Nikki Rubin.
Happy birthday, Nikki.
Enjoy your day, Nikki. She's a great singer. Nikki's a really good singer. Cool. We're wishing her a good birthday. Enjoy your day, Nikki. And our qualifier today, Ben Holberg.
Happy birthday, Ben.
Ben is somebody that I think many of the audience might know from Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater. I know that's where I met Ben back during Almost Maine all those years ago. Ben has also done a lot in this community. He's, last I knew, he was an EMT worker. I know that he also likes to ref for wrestling events.
Does
a lot of those. And those local wrestling events that they've been doing, I haven't seen one in a while, but the ones that they would do raise a lot of money for charities around here and everything. They do a lot of good work with those.
Yeah.
Ben's one of those givers. Puts a lot into
Very
this
cool.
area. Wishing him a great day. Enjoy your day, Ben. Hope it's a good one for you. And we want to remind you to get us those birthdays and anniversaries, everybody. We want to celebrate with you. Get them to us at info@wfhr.com, james.mailoff@civicmedia.us. You can reach any of our staff that way. And, of course, call us up, 715-424-2600, 424-2600. Call up and join the conversation.
Indeed.
Joss Stone is 37 today.
Wow.
Talented British singer, songwriter.
Yeah, I remember when she came onto the scene, man.
Yeah.
She had a great voice.
She had a we've had a handful of singers that have had similar voices since that, since she's come out. But when she first came out, you're right, it was kind of a throwback to almost a Janis Joplin type voice.
Yep.
Not the same thing or anything but very similar.
A lot of soul in their voice, too, yeah.
I am such a sucker for the raspy, you know, kind of like delivery and voice.
Oh, yeah.
I loved the Vacation movies. You know, like everybody else, enjoyed the Vacation movies, but I secretly really loved them because of Beverly D'Angelo.
Isn't that a great voice?
Oh,
yeah.
That voice. Mm-hmm. Oh, that voice. Betty Davis. I mean, there's some great raspy voices in human history.
Good stuff.
Yeah. Lights is 37, Canadian pop star who sings Drive My Soul and Toes.
Actually, I know who that is. I know who that is.
You're ahead of me on that one.
I think I played one of her songs on Seth Face the Music, if I remember correctly.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool. Jennifer Esposito is 51, good character actor.
Oh, she's great.
Spin City, Crash, Blue Blood she's on currently.
Mm-hmm.
Good actor.
Very good actor.
Lisa Stansfield is 58, All Around the World and a couple of other hits she had in the 90s.
Yep.
Good one. Peter Reigert is 77. Boone from Animal House.
Oh, gosh.
Seth Green's father on Dad's. Carol Kane's boyfriend on the Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. Good character actor.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
One of those guys. You'd know him if you saw him.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And the great Joel Grey, born in this day. He is 92 today.
Wow.
He won both
92?
Yeah. He won both a Tony and an Emmy. A Tony and an Oscar as the MC in Cabaret.
Yes.
He's probably most proud. He is Jennifer Grey's father.
Yep. I believe he's an EGOT.
Yes.
I believe he's also won an Emmy and a Grammy, too. So, yeah.
One of the sneaky, I think,
yeah.
As far as EGOT winners and everything. Mm-hmm. And Joel Grey, the Cabaret, great performance and everything. Legendary performance.
Yep.
But a lot of good other parts, too.
And absolutely.
I don't want to say didn't turn into a character actor necessarily, but kind of ended up kind of going that route with mm-hmm. a lot of the roles that he would play after that. Yep. He was also, I think you can make the argument, typecasted after that.
A little bit.
After that Cabaret performance.
Right. But he did stick to Broadway mostly. He did movies, he did TV shows, but he was mostly a onstage guy. So.
Yeah. And I always think one of the cooler things I think that can happen for an actor or mm-hmm. in entertainment really is the idea of an actor playing a character on stage and then getting you to do it in a movie.
Yeah, and that, I mean, not only is that extremely rare, the fact that he won awards for doing it on both, that is almost unheard of.
Yeah.
And so that's, if nothing else, he's got that on his resume that he actually pulled it off, which, I mean, give him all the credit in the world, man.
Pretty impressive.
Yep.
We don't get to get into our National Day of Calendar that much anymore, but I did want to, as I mentioned earlier, it's National Pet Day, mm-hmm. and I did want to take a note to mention a couple of things. Taxes are due in 4 days. Oh, God.
Yep. Yeah, on Monday. Yeah.
31 days till Mother's Day. Oh, God. Gotta go.
All these deadlines.
But it's also National Parkinson's Day. And I didn't know where we could necessarily find a moment for to talk about this, but I thought that right here seems like a good spot. And we've got a shorter birthday and anniversary club today.
Yep.
So Parkinson's is one of those things that I believe everybody thinks that they know what it is.
Mm.
But if you really ask yourself right now, do you know what Parkinson's is? Do you understand what it is? Mm. And how we are trying to fight it and how we are working so diligently to try to beat this mm-hmm. horrible, horrible disease and how long it's been since we've made really any ground on it.
Yeah.
You know? We're fortunate that we're in a time where there are more and more people being active about this and bringing attention to it.
Mm-hmm.
You, of course, have Michael J. Fox, who has become the face of this.
Pretty much, yeah.
And rightfully so mm-hmm. in his own way, because it's what he wanted.
Yep.
He was trying to
exactly.
do that.
No, he wasn't pushed into this role. He wanted to do it.
As a side note, it's amazing to think for 80s kids like us that Michael J. Fox, that's what he's known for now. And part of me, like, is hurt by that because he is such a great performer, such a great actor, did so much, gave so much to the entertainment field.
Right.
But I would imagine just hearing him in interviews on the Colbert Report and other things over the years, and that's how long this has been going on. He's been doing this since Stephen Colbert was on the Colbert Report mm-hmm. long before he was doing Late Night and everything.
Right.
He's been able to do something that I think that is so vital to our society. Mm-hmm. It's not just bringing attention to this. It's putting a face to it and a face you care about.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about this before. COVID was, you know, oh, this is tense. Oh, but Tom Hanks gets COVID. Oh, people start giving a dang.
It's interesting. Yeah.
If that's what it takes to get this done,
mm-hmm.
because these diseases just keep running laps around us.
Mm-hmm.
While we, especially years like this, where we have divisiveness, and it's a political year and bickering back and forth and everything about political parties and these silly things. Meanwhile, diseases just laugh. Just laugh at us.
Well, especially the neurological disorders like Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, dementia. Those are all nerve-based that we still know so little about, even though they've been trying. I mean, there's been a lot of research on it. It's just the mystery of the human body and all this. It's just, yeah. Yeah,
we need to pool our attention, pool our resources as a world, and and start working together more, and start getting over some of these other things that are holding us back from beating cancer, Parkinson's, all these diseases that continue to do what they do.
Yeah, that's what they do.
And a big shout out as well to all the virus hunters out there, all the people out there who are trying to cut these things off at the pass. And learn more about Parkinson's disease. I encourage you to do so. There's a lot of interesting things about it as well, as far as things that you can do in your own personal life.
Yep.
One more time, we want to wish a happy birthday to Dave Hushin.
Happy birthday, Dave.
Happy birthday, Rhonda Meyer. Happy birthday, Nikki Rubin.
Happy birthday, you too.
And a very happy birthday to our friend, Ben Holberg, qualifier today. Qualifier.
Happy birthday, Ben.
They're all friends. All
congratulations.
These friends.
You're
all friends out there, whether you realize it or not. But you don't have to get us birthday presents. You know, that's the nice thing about it. You know,
we're
friends, but it's like, it's casual.
Yep.
It's, you know, hey, we see each other, we pass by. Okay, cool. Otherwise, you know, don't have to worry about it.
That's right.
But you do have to get us those birthdays and anniversaries, everybody. We love celebrating with you. If you have to, direct message us on our Facebook pages. Mm-hmm. And of course, keep in mind, our show, our phone lines are always open for you.
Yep.
Do we have caller ID? No. Do we have a call waiting? No. But we do have the phone lines open.
We do.
And we do want to hear
school.
From you.
Old fashioned.
Yeah. Go ahead and call up and join. Albuquerque, you're on line one. I can do my Larry King impression.
Yeah, yes.
we'll come back after our local news with more fun on the morning show. Welcome back, everyone. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Seth and James hanging out with you. We hope you're having a good one out there. Good things to get into this hour. We'll get into a little bit later a couple of fun topics I've got. McDonald's is up to something interesting. And a study found a pat on the back can really help you.
That's cool.
Let's dive into this one.
All right.
There's no wrong time to exercise. Any exercise is better than nothing. Mm-hmm. Every study in the world suggests that.
Yeah, that's true.
It also suggests that there are a lot of ways that you are exercising that you may not realize, like if you are a parent. end of discussion. Like, that's
man, I'm telling you, if you have kids of a certain age that are just starting to walk or anything like that, you are moving.
Yeah.
You are chasing.
Exercise is a broad term.
It is, really.
It really
I agree.
It really is. You do not have to be in a gym. You do not have to be pumping weights to be exercising.
Mm-hmm.
A new study suggests there could be a right time to exercise.
Okay.
This study tracked people over 8 years and found that people who exercise in the evening have a 61% lower risk of death from any cause compared to people who don't exercise.
Okay.
So 8-year study. That's pretty impressive. That's decent.
Yep.
Data right there.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And that exercising in the evening is 61% lower risk death, risk of death of any cause compared to people who don't exercise in the evening.
Really?
Everyone who exercised was better off, but the people who exercised in the morning and afternoon only had a lower risk of 33% and 40% respectively. So it wasn't as dramatic as the people who worked out at night. Why is exercising at night better? The data suggests nobody can see you. No. The data suggests it could be because our bodies are primed to handle blood sugar better later in the day.
Oh.
This keep in mind that the study was focused on people who were obese, many with type 2 diabetes.
Oh, okay. All right.
That would have been good to mention earlier.
A little bit
in the article. I should mention that. And fitting in some exercise in the evening might lower our blood pressure throughout the night and into the next morning as well. This part is really interesting to me, too. The study also found that frequency of exercise, how often you move, seem to matter more for health than the duration of the activity.
Okay. Wow. Okay.
In layman's terms, reps.
Yeah, basically.
Anybody, especially if you've been working out for a long time, like from a young age, you know, when you're little, you can't pump, you know, major iron. You're not pumping, you know, you're not working out 100 pounds or anything like that. When I was a kid and my dad being an athlete, I wanted to work out with him. I wanted to be at the gym with him and do what he was doing because I was trying to be a little version of him.
Right.
but I could not bench 150, 250, things
of course
like
not.
That
no.
and everything.
You're not developed. Your tendons and everything aren't developed enough.
Yeah, but it that bothered me. I didn't like that and everything. And he taught me how how little it matters of how much you can bench. Mm. It's how often you can. Gotcha. It's the reps. Yeah.
That's
it's
right.
all about reps. Any good workout comes down to the reps.
Right.
Lots of people can bench, 300 pounds once.
Mm-hmm.
But how many times can you do 100? How many times can you? And that's where the real muscle right. gets built in. And that's what real exercise for your body.
Mm-hmm.
So much of this study comes from. I think one of the things that never – it comes up, but it doesn't come up nearly enough when it comes to exercising. Don't beat your body or yourself up.
No.
It's not about putting yourself in the dirt. It's not about beating your body down so badly that, you wake up in the next morning.
Yeah.
Like, there's a good burn, and then there's not being able to move.
We really need to get past no pain, no gain.
Yeah.
If there's pain going on, there's something wrong, okay? You should not be doing that.
There is little literal scientific proof
yes.
that there is that does not a good phrase.
No.
That is not a good phrase.
Not a good thing.
And the mental way we beat ourselves up. If you miss a workout or if something comes up and you forget or anything like that.
I think a lot of people, excuse me, maybe James, you haven't been there, but a lot of people, they say New Year's or something like that. Yeah, mm-hmm. Now this year is the year I'm going to get in shape. I'm going to do lots of exercise. And then that first day, you do a whole bunch of exercise. You're like, I can't do this. And then you stop.
Yeah.
That doesn't help you either. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's all about finding out what's good for you, what's the least strain on your body, and what you're willing to stick to kind of thing. So, like for instance, last night I went with my youngest. He loves to walk. He just likes to walk around. So we're like, okay, let's walk. And we went all around town. We went across the Jackson Street Bridge and up to the library and down and stuff like that. And just doing that, man.
Yeah.
That's a nice exercise. You go because you have some hills you got to climb up a little bit and stuff. So. Just walking at it like a regular pace. It's not like you're power walking or anything like that. You're just walking at a normal pace. But still, you can feel it. You can feel the exercise you're getting.
We tend to be our own worst enemy. And one of the things that we can do to prevent that is to be better to each other better to ourselves.
Right.
We talk a good game about having grace, giving each other grace. But we need to do it for ourselves more, too.
Yeah.
There's a lot more that can be done with that.
Yeah. I usually come back to the it's kind of a platitude, I guess, but it's really hard to love other people if you can't love yourself.
Tell me about it. No, No, you're right. Yeah, right. That's just a light to move. Yeah,
but it's true. I mean, if you can't offer yourself grace, how can you offer it to other people?
Yeah,
it's really hard.
We have an interesting one here, Seth.
Okay.
The top cities for retail therapy. The top cities for retail therapy. Those out there looking to do that.
Can I just throw something out there really bad? Some of the worst therapy you can do.
Yeah.
Retail therapy, I get it. I've done it myself.
Yeah.
But it's not it doesn't last long. And then you kind of end up with regrets at times if you do certain things. So yeah.
I've been made fun of this before and I don't know if I should even bring it up, but I've never ever been a window shopper. I'm not good at that.
Oh, I see.
I'm not good at the whole, like, my mom used to do that when I was a kid. We'd go down past Macy's and some of the fancy stores when I was a kid, and she'd look at things and stuff, and I just never understood that. I'm not good at that. I give credit to people that are, and I don't have any issue with it or anything, but for me, I've never been good at that. I'm also not a great shopper. Like, it almost anything, I go into any store like it's a battle. Like I've got to survive it or something.
He's got his camo on.
I've got a list, and I'm in, and I'm out as fast
list.
As
That's
I
it.
Can.
Nothing more, nothing less.
I love running into people randomly. I think I really, really, truly do.
It's fun.
But in those situations, it's one of those things like, oh, I didn't have that on my list, running into Joe. Oh, dang it. All right, I got to add that to my list. I was going to add
then
more
check
time.
It off.
Yeah, yeah, So I admit I am not a retail guy or a purchasing guy. I'm not much of a buyer, really.
Right,
I don't do a lot of that.
And so I'll be that guy. I'll be like, well, technically, shopping isn't buying. It's just looking.
Yeah,
and then you buy it.
Right,
buying
right.
is buying,
that's
shopping
true.
Is shopping.
True.
So
very true.
They've
true.
Been connected, but anyway.
If you're expecting a tax refund this year, maybe there's an opportunity for some retail therapy in your future. Unless you're like a lot of us.
Yeah, exactly.
There's some new data out of the best cities for retail therapy, and it takes several factors into account, like the number of retail establishments and employees, local foot traffic, interest in luxury brands, and popular density. Population density.
Yeah, wow.
They're all metro areas. You've got Tampa, New York City, Dallas, and L.A. all in the, and Minneapolis in the top five, bottom five.
Oh, okay. All right.
Minneapolis in there is interesting to
see. Some of the first malls, if I remember correctly, were in the Twin Cities metro area, if I remember correctly.
Well, would the Mall of America just alone, just that,
true,
like cover
very
a
true,
lot of
yeah,
this? Like
yeah.
That's got to be a big factor in there too.
Yep.
And I've never been to the Mall of America. I've always wanted to check it out. And I think it was right before the pandemic. I heard somebody saying something about, well, you better go check it out before it's gone. I'm like, oh, whoa, what are you? Okay. And I look into it. That mall is fine.
No, they're fine.
That thing is doing well.
Yeah.
Like, and even after pandemic, like some of the numbers have even risen for some of their events and things mm-hmm. that they have over there. I think that's a pretty big credit to how that thing is run.
I think it is too. My family and I were there 2 years ago. Something like that. Mm. Two summers ago, we went there because we had some time when I brought my son down there. But it was packed. There's people everywhere. Yeah. I'm like, and it was like a normal. It wasn't like a special day or anything. It was, yeah, no. The Mall of America is just fine.
Yeah.
I mean, they got an amusement park in the middle of it. I mean, come on.
I mean, other malls, I don't know.
Yeah.
Other malls are getting turned into all kinds
right.
of other things.
It really depends.
Yeah. It's this is what it did. It took it needed in order to be the biggest mall in the world. It had to take from all the other malls. That's why we're losing all these other malls.
Is that
malls.
What it is?
Like, just sucking up the energy from all of them.
Actually, I think there's a mall in Edmonton that's bigger.
Oh, yeah?
There's like one technically. That's like the biggest mall in the world.
Interesting that it would be in Edmonton.
I know,
you know
of all places,
like right across
right?
the street, really, from Minnesota. It's like it's a hop, skip, and a jump. Boston is at number 5. Denver at number 4. St. Louis, Atlanta, and Miami round out the top 5.
Okay,
Miami, not surprising to see up the top there.
Yep.
Atlanta is a little interesting. I wouldn't have expected that. St. Louis at number 3.
That's interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
I would never have pegged them for that. Wow.
I especially if you're thinking of retail therapy or best place for it, Los Angeles, New York, those are the first ones to come to mind for a lot of us.
Yeah.
They're not even in the top 5.
Yeah. That's well, I wonder if it's because of, I mean, New York is a special case.
Yeah.
Because they have a lot of like super high-end stores. If you like head down to like Manhattan, you know.
Yeah.
So that's like what normal people are you kidding me? You can't afford anything from there.
No.
And they have other, you know, stores. But I think that actually makes sense to me that it wouldn't be best for, like, normal people.
Right, right. That does make sense. You break it down like that. We are going to take a time out. I'm going to fix my throat.
Yep, get that frog out of there.
We will come back and have some more fun of the morning show here at WFHR. Welcome back, everyone. Morning show here at WFHR. Locally grown radio. Seth and James here with you. We hope you're having a good one out there. I almost said Seth, James, and Melissa because it feels like Melissa's here a little bit, which is okay. It's okay.
That's right. Yeah.
We hope you're in spirit. Wishing you a good morning, Melissa, and all of you out there. Hope you're having a good one. We got some good stuff to get into before we wrap up the day here. I want to get into a little bit later a study that found a pat on the back can really be helpful. That should be good. And in the 9 o'clock hour, we're going to have our pet of the week from the Southwick County Maine Society and some entertainment news there. But I wanted to fit this one in, Seth.
Okay.
How many times have you, as we're getting ready for summer, and we are in summer, but we're getting ready for concert season.
Yeah.
A lot of bands are touring right now. Mm-hmm. A lot of that going on. And a list of artists who had farewell tours that didn't stick is what we have for you.
It's going to be a long list, I'm telling you.
How many times have you heard an artist say that they're going on a farewell tour only to come back shortly after, probably too many times to count?
Yeah, right.
So we're going to go through this list here of them. And it's interesting. You can find the complete list at rollingstone.com. One of the things that I enjoy about this list is Rolling Stone, you know, have a big catalog of history and work that they can do on this. I think this is something too where you're going to hear this list and I remember that show or I remember that run or that. And I think there's something impressive too. We tease bands and we tease about this and the band that comes back and all that, but it's like Madonna I believe she's 65 or something like
I can't remember where she's at, but yeah.
She in the Miami Heat where they play in Miami, she just sold that out for 4 nights in a row.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, like the Rolling Stones are in their 80s and still selling out like stadiums, like not just like little venues, yeah, already, like right. stadiums. I think that there's something impressive to me about that.
Yeah,
especially when it comes to like those two acts I mentioned. Are they hurting for money? Does anybody expect Madonna to have a garage sale? No. Like, you know, they think they're all right.
Oh, my God. Would that be the most amazing garage sale? I'm just saying. You know,
weirdest garage sale you've ever been to. Like, I didn't know, you don't normally see bras at garage sales.
Oh, wow.
It's very odd. Very weird. I think that, like, that's the side thing we have to think of with all these bands.
Right.
Is them having garage sales. Right. And what they would do.
As
like.
You're going through this.
For no reason whatsoever. Well,
I got to move. Got to get rid of some of this stuff, you know, go to a smaller place.
This is an interesting place where this list starts, too. At number 8, Frank Sinatra. Sinatra's final show, 1971. Years until next tour, 2.
Wait, he did a farewell tour in 1971?
Yeah.
Dude, he was performing all the way up till when he passed away in the 90s.
In our
whenever
lifetime.
That was.
Yeah.
Wow. I didn't even know that.
Yeah. Slayer, their final show was in 2019, years until the next tour, 5. So not as bad.
So they did come back a little bit. Yeah.
Leonard Skinner, their final show 2020. Then they toured again in 2 years.
Seems like a pattern here.
That's a little bit of a more of a gray area, I think, when it comes to bands that have lost a lot of members or a key, like especially a Leonard Skinner, where,
well, they lost a couple of guys. Yeah.
I mean, and with a band like that, they're, I hate to say this, but they're almost known for that, losing band members and everything.
Yeah.
I'd like to say that they're known for Freebird or some other things, but I think that especially younger people.
Allman Brothers, too, yeah.
It's one of the first things that you're going to think of. Motley Crue's final show was in 2015 until 6 years later. And even recently, like, they've toured. They've been doing stuff. Tina Turner, her final show was in 2000. 8 years later, she went back on the road.
Oh, now that's a little bit. That's a little bit more. Okay.
I wonder how many of these two would come down to the audience has spoken kind of thing. Like, hey, we want you to tour again, you know, and fans like asking for it and everything.
You know, that would be fascinating to know. Yeah, how much of it is audience response? Or like, hey, we love you. We want to see you again. You know, come on. We want to celebrate your music. We want to love you. You know, which is kind of hard to turn down. I mean, and you know how much you can make money you can make on a tour too. I mean, that's kind of their livelihood. So.
I think I'm one of the things that I realized when I was really little, especially growing up in an athletic family, was how fortunate I am to have a passion, have a job, have something that I love, that really if I take care of myself and I'm doing all right, I can do as long as I live.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I never have to retire from. I never have to walk away from acting. I can walk on any stage for the rest of my life and perform. That is a gift. That is a sweet gift,
right?
Especially when you grow up with like somebody like not just grow up with. I think when you see it as a fan of sports and everything, but
sports is an interesting case.
My dad, the way I talk about acting and all that, that's my dad on sports. That's my dad on hockey, on boxing. It wasn't about fame. It wasn't about a big purse in a match. It was about the game. It was about actually performing and doing this and being a part of it. And having that taken away from him, it had a real effect on me. And it just growing up and seeing many, many athletes over the years having to pull away, like, and none of us can understand what that's like.
Right.
You have no idea what that's like.
Unless you've been there. Yeah.
If you have been there outside of that, you don't know what that's like. It's a whole different thing. I'm not saying that they deserve all the empathy in the world or something like that. These are mostly millionaires. But it cannot be an easy thing to stomach. Then as that's an athlete. If you are an entertainer, you know, I remember as a Quinn, another thing I heard, Anthony Quinn retiring as an actor. And like, well, that's shocking to me. I couldn't imagine wanting to walking away from this and everything. And as I get older and I hear about Sean Connery and how he can't memorize lines the way he wants to, and they have a standard for themselves. And if they can't meet it, they don't want to be out there.
Yep.
And I got that. And that had a whole different layer of respect to it.
Right.
So when I think of these musicians and I think of how hard it must be to walk away from the public eye, Have you ever been cheered, anybody? Because it feels good.
Oh, like, it does. That kind of, I mean, look at, okay, a lot of people out there have been to concerts, okay? You see when you're in the audience, you know, you see the, and if it were done anywhere else, it would look ridiculous.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, the theater that comes along with music, you know, the strutting, you know, yes. Certain, and all that, and the way they act and the shout outs, like, hey, I'm ready to go, woo! You yes. know, that kind of stuff. Anywhere else would look just silly, you know? Yeah. But it's the whole experience. But there's a reason that they keep doing it. Okay, this is their job. This yeah. is their job, and it's not just a job because they make a lot of money. The big let's put it this way: the top groups make the mm-hmm. a lot of money. Okay, mm-hmm. but it's not necessarily about that.
Yeah,
it's about the experience. This is what you do. And this is what you love to do, like you're talking about acting, like you're talking about sports, all these kinds of things. They're very similar in that respect.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't, you know, you get to that point, you know, this is my last tour. I'm so tired of this, you know, living out of a suitcase or on yeah. a bus. And yeah, that can get tiring. Yeah. I mean, who's I've never done that before. Who knows? But then, you know,
yeah,
4 years later, you're like, you get that, oh, man, maybe mm-hmm. I can do it again kind of thing. So that's why that's with a lot of it what I see with these groups, yeah.
It's not surprising, then, to see the shift in the Vegas mainstay, where when mm-hmm. we were kids, it was Wayne Newton. It was acts that were kind of on the tail end
Engelbert
of their career.
Humperdinck.
Yes, nice reference. Anytime we could say the name Engelbert Humperdinck, it's yeah. a good chance. It's a good show. Now you're seeing like Imagine Dragons, like you're mm-hmm. seeing bands that are still in the
in
essence
their prime.
Of their
yeah,
prime
right,
and everything
yeah.
doing this. So Carrie Underwood mm-hmm. and acts like that. In part of what you were saying about the touring, but you get almost the best of both worlds in some ways.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're not too having to travel all around the country, but right. you're still getting to perform.
Yep, exactly.
I wonder if that is going to shift this conversation of the Tina Turner, the Motley Crue, the bands like that, instead of touring, you know, coming back after 4 or 5 years to tour,
right.
just doing a mainstay at Vegas or something.
Wow. You know, I wonder if that will ever happen with any of the other big cities around there.
Yeah.
Well, Billy Joel's a good example. You yes. know, he's like residency yeah. at Madison Square Garden.
Yeah.
He's performed there how many times over the last how many years?
Sells out every show.
But it's almost like a residency for
yeah,
him
yeah.
playing Madison Square Garden. I wonder, I mean, you have to be a really big act, obviously.
Yeah.
And he's a
yeah.
big act. So mm-hmm. maybe other cities will start thinking, you know, maybe that Vegas thing isn't so bad. Maybe we could offer a
yes.
group to stay around for a while.
So, if I was a casino, that is one of the main things I'd be doing right now.
Yeah.
Most casinos have a nice stage area.
Oh, absolutely.
And I would be, that is one of the main things I'd be doing.
Mm-hmm.
What act can I get a semi-big name? And guess what? You're playing here for 2 months.
Right.
You know,
right.
I think that that's a really smart move mm-hmm. nowadays. And
yep.
a lot of artists want that.
Yeah, you know, it's true.
So it seems like a
stability.
Win-win.
I think is big. It
yeah.
really is for them.
Oh,
yeah.
So in the arts, stability is everything.
Yeah, it's so rare.
It's so rare. It's why I say be a surviving artist, not a struggling artist.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big difference. Mm-hmm. Ozzy Osbourne knows something about that. He comes in at number 3, his final show in 1992, 3 years until his next one, 3.
1992?
Yeah, that's crazy. The No More Tours tour, I remember, with Zakk Wylde. It was after the No More Tears album came out. I remember that. I got to see Ozzy 4 times at 4 different Ozfests. And every time that man left everything on the stage. One of the greatest MCs I have ever seen. Easily.
It's theater.
It is.
And those are the best ones.
And he is such a performer.
Yep.
But he is very similar to certain energies I've seen in like actors and mm-hmm. other performers and that, where what he's doing on stage, he wants you to feel. He wants you to be as excited and energetic and have as much fun as he has.
Mm-hmm.
The first Ozfest I went to, and it was they brought back a bunch of the members of Black Sabbath.
Oh, wow.
And so you got Tony Iommi up there. You've mm-hmm. got, you know, along with the drummer from Faith No More and stuff. And it was just a really cool experience. I had good seats. I'm up there, and Ozzy does a set of his own songs. And then he brings out Geezer Butler, all these people and everything. And he's just so emotional up there. And it's like he's nervous. You're like, oh my God, Ozzy Osbourne's nervous. He gets nervous? And then he tells the crowd, I'm a little nervous up here, everybody. I'm sorry about that. And he's so blunt, so honest and real. Like, I could see why he's still performing, because mm-hmm. this is the other part. If you can do it at that age, why not?
Why not?
Why not, man? All of us would do it if we could. If you could still do it at a certain age.
Exactly. Yeah.
And I think it's a little different with him too when you bring in the Ozfest and the tour. You know, the actual, like, it's not just him. It's not just him on him. He's got all these other bands with him.
Right.
Sir Elton John comes in at number two.
Yep.
Elton John, we all remember his final tour back in 1977. Jeez, sir.
Did he really think he was going to? I guess at the time he must have been like, I'm done. You know, like, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm not doing this anymore.
Yeah.
And then still going strong.
I guess not. Yeah.
Still going strong.
I believe it was just in the last year or two
that
he wrapped up his quote unquote final tour.
This time it might stick because of his age. I mean, to be honest. But we'll see.
And at number one, Kiss. Their final show was in 2001 with their Kiss Alive was, I think, their last tour. No, it was 96-97 that they said.
Right,
that's
yes.
That's the one that they said was going to be. I remember that.
It was really long.
Yeah,
That was a long tour. Anyway.
Kiss's final show was in 2001, Years Until Next Tour 1.
And by, I love it. They don't even care. No, we're coming back.
1 month.
We're coming back.
The next day. The next day, they completely took it all back. They took it all back the next day. This is an interesting thing with Kiss. I actually think that they are done. For one, the band members are all done with each other.
They don't like each other anymore.
They're all done with each other. Them selling the rights to their music, it was a little bit of a kind of like wiping their hands
sort of
thing.
Yep.
But it's also Kiss, so I don't know. I mean, who knows?
They're going to be doing something.
Yeah, yeah.
I just don't know what it is.
Yeah, you're not getting away from them, that's for sure.
as much as you may want to.
I will say, Paul Stanley, really fun to follow on Twitter. Like, he's a great Twitter guy. He's a great follower
on
Twitter.
He's extremely smart.
He's really an intelligent man.
He really is.
I really appreciate his approaches to things, too. Mm-hmm. I never hear him come out and say, you know, bashing people or coming out and saying, you need to think this, you need to that. He just kind of, in my experience or what I've experienced, or something like that.
Well spoken. He's what it's weird. Well, and you think of Gene Simmons, who's like, but he is like, you know, he's very, you know, very soft spoken when he's talking, you know, interviews and stuff like that. Very well spoken. Yeah, totally unlike what you'd think, right?
Yeah. And everything I said about Ozzy, very similar with Paul Stanley.
Yeah.
I thought Kiss was a cool band. I thought it was all right. I was looking forward to seeing my first show. I didn't expect to come away so blown away, so impressed.
Right. That's cool.
And I was more impressed by Paul Stanley than anybody else in that band, by far and away. We are going to come back with our Pet of the Week from our friends at the Southwood County Humane Society.
Yeah.
We're looking forward to that. We'll have some entertainment news for you afterwards. And a little bit later in the 9 o'clock hour, 15 random signs that you're an old person now. That's all we need.
Oh,
right?
I got it. That's because checklist. Thanks.
Yeah,
thanks.
That's what we need. We'll check it off together.
All right.
Check it off together. Coming up on The Morning Show.